This is KVNF's regional newscast for Wednesday, June 16th. I'm Kate Redmond. Here's Gavin Dahl with headlines.
Last Thursday's Hotchkiss town meeting saw larger than usual attendance, partly due to the turmoil in the marshal's office. The town is hiring a new marshal, and several women in Hotchkiss stepped forward during public comment to insist that the previous marshal belittled issues of domestic abuse. They would like to see a new hire handle things differently. Delta County Independent reports resident Nina Barrow read a prepared statement attesting that domestic abuse survivors have been labeled as perpetrators and that abusers continue to experience no consequences. She suggested that the town offer training for incoming officers to strengthen the response to allegations of domestic violence. The North Fork Merchant Herald brought new information to light about two disgraced Hotchkiss marshals. Deputy Chad Lloyd, who was fired in the June 1st town council executive session, maintains he did not violate any town policy or law. He also noted on the Merchant Herald's Facebook page that the vehicle Deputy Kelsey Shumway allegedly stole was his, taken from his property while he was at work. Deputy Shumway is scheduled to appear in court today. She faces charges of motor vehicle theft, careless driving, failure to report an accident, DUI, and trespassing. She's also facing separate charges of misdemeanor harassment and domestic violence. Crested Butte last week unleashed a flurry of actions aimed at the affordable housing shortage in the valley. The council announced they've put the former Ruby Bed and Breakfast building under contract for $2.3 million to potentially house seasonal or transitional workers. They also declared an official emergency. Crested Butte News reports the declaration allows the council to suspend provisions of the municipal code, including zoning. It could also allow the town to waive provisions for competitive bidding when dealing with housing, transfer town personnel and departments for the purpose of facilitating emergency services, and make provisions for the availability and use of temporary emergency housing. And the development and revitalization team of the City of Montrose, along with the Colorado Yurt Company, won the Governor's Award for Downtown Excellence. They were selected for their TP the Town partnership. Last fall, the Colorado Yurt Company, a Montrose-based manufacturer of yurts, teepees, and tents, set up teepees at Montrose restaurants and bars to help them adapt to COVID restrictions. The teepees allowed diners and drinkers to sit together in enclosed eating areas that were separate from other patrons and crowds. The Montrose Press reports Colorado Yurt Company provided the teepees free to the businesses while the city used COVID relief funds to cover installation expenses. The unique partnership enabled local restaurants that faced indoor dining restrictions of 25% capacity to provide outdoor seating for their guests and to continue to operate. KVNF also won awards for my coverage of the story from both the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Society of Professional Journalists. Last week, the Colorado River District presented the Gunnison State of the River, a webinar about current issues in the Gunnison River Basin, and things look grim. Kate Redmond reports.
The Gunnison River is one of the major tributaries of the Colorado River. It provides water for agricultural and livestock operations, producing Colorado's food. It is also the center of recreation areas on the western slope and critical habitat for native and endangered fish. While the snowpack was good this past winter, the runoff is poor partly because of the extremely dry soil conditions. Bob Herford, Division 4 engineer in the State Engineer's Office of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources, has analyzed 112 years of collected data. This year is shaping up to be one of the fourth worst years on record, with only 310 acre-feet of runoff into Blue Mesa. Here is Bob Herford.
The Colorado Basin River Forecast Center runs these runoff forecast models that also factor in things like precipitation, soil moisture conditions. This year, the models are predicting about a 46% average runoff. You can see that, we're struggling this year. It's not good.
On the other side of the divide, eastern Colorado has been experiencing sustained precipitation and is now considered nearly out of drought. Summertime in Marble means more traffic on the Lead King Loop, particularly OHVs. The White River National Forest is starting a safety assessment of the area this summer. KDNK's Kathleen Shannon spoke to Aspen Sopris District Manager Kevin Warner to learn more.
Most Marble residents have concerns about off-highway vehicle use in town and on the Lead King Loop. The White River National Forest decided to investigate one of those concerns. Safety.
I reached out to our regional office.
Kevin Warner is the district ranger for the Aspen Sopris Ranger District in the White River National Forest. a district that includes the Lead King Loop.
And said, hey, I could use a little bit of help here in understanding what the safety concerns are and what are your recommendations to try to come to some solutions.
Those recommendations will come from information gathered by engineers conducting a road safety assessment this summer. The study will gauge safety for many user groups, including hikers, mountain bikers, equestrians, and drivers of full-licensed vehicles, as well as off-highway vehicles like ATVs.
Some of the things they'll be looking at will be really the physical characteristics of the road, such as the width, the visibility around corners, allowable travel speeds, potential for crashes, which take almost all of that stuff into consideration. And then in addition, they'll look at things like average daily use, peak use.
Traffic counters will be used throughout the year to determine patterns on the Lead King Loop, including times of peak use. The engineers also plan to spend some time with their boots on the ground, likely in late July or early August.
They'll most likely take probably a whole day and walk the entire loop, maybe even a couple, taking notes, taking pictures, and observing the use. Then they'll probably take another day actually driving the loop and driving it all and feeling it out from the perspective of utilizing a vehicle rather than walking.
Warner says the Forest Service is funding the assessment, and the town of Marble and Gunnison County have made other financial contributions to deal with overuse on the Lead King Loop. They're helping fund an additional forest protection officer to make rounds in the area this summer. The goal of the assessment is to have more information to make recommendations on traffic on the loop. In the future, if an agency moves to act on one of those recommendations, whether that be the county, Marble, or the National Forest Service, then, Warner says, the process would likely open to public comment.
Normally, if those recommendations include any sort of ground disturbance or any sort of changes to public use and those kind of things, that would be a public process, primarily through our National Environmental Policy Act policies and procedures, but there could be other ways to do it as well.
Warner expects to receive the completed road safety assessment by late autumn or early winter. Until then, he has some advice for trail users.
If you are up there and using the Lead King Loop this summer, try to really think about how to do that in the most respectful way to the other users that you can. That would include things like keeping your speeds down when using a motorized vehicle, trying to, you know, keep the noise down, so not going super early or super late at night. And maybe when you are running through town, keeping the noise down on the radio and other things like that to really try to respect the people who live up there and call that area home.
For KDNK News, I'm Kathleen Shannon.
That does it for Wednesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Gavin Dahl. I'm Kate Redmond.